Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
This from an Indianapolis Colts beat writer. I like this because it's not coming from, you know, Packers land, like getting too excited about something. This is somebody who's watching their own team that they cover. Per James Boyd of The Athletic, the Packers defense is dominating.
That's what I wanted
the
to
Colts
hear.
In the 11-on-11. The trenches have been a real problem so far. Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones are dealing with constant pressure.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if it's the first string or the second string, and I'm happy to report this because Kyle said if Daniel Jones is running around against the Packers, he's going to have an aneurysm.
I sure was. I wasn't going to see me tomorrow, but I needed to know.
Alex Strofe, any updates from your camp?
Yes. I wasn't ready for you to throw to me quite yet.
I texted you.
One, two, three. Excuse me. Not one, not two, not three, not four. 5 sacks for the Packers against the Colts today.
That's what I'm talking about. Harass. After that.
Hold on.
Slow down.
Here are the players with sacks so far today.
Let me hear it.
Colby Wooden.
Okay, young Colby, young bull.
Tyron Hopper.
Okay, yeah. Second year guy about to take turn the corner.
Hop and Coop.
Quay Walker.
Okay, Quay, I see you.
Lucas Van Ness.
All right, little fake Hercules might be turning into real Hercules. Baby the man.
And finally, with some speed off the edge.
Better be Gary.
Rashad Gary.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, dominating lesser competition. I hope they were embarrassed by that awful performance that they had on Saturday. And in this practice, they had the ability to, you know, beat up on somebody. And I really love hearing the fact that they're getting after it today.
I mean, they had to respond after the preseason performance.
I mean, they left us hopeless after that game because this is exactly what I wanted to hear.
From
I wanted to hear dominance.
Matt Schneidman of The Athletic.
Now let's go to somebody else.
One-on-one wide receiver versus D-backs. Oh, yeah, I guess he insulted you, didn't he? Charvarius Ward versus Matthew Golden. Guess who won that battle?
Matthew Golden?
You got it. Beat him long.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Caught a slant against somebody else, too. He's dominating the one-on-ones.
I tried to tell people all you had to do was sit a little bit. What I saw in that game on Saturday, cooked him.
So now it's time to pick the bone with Strofe.
Oh, what'd I do?
I asked the question yesterday, and it was interesting because I didn't take you for this type of guy. It's not who you are at the core. I think you're trying to be someone that you're not.
I have no idea where this is headed.
I asked Strofe if you had an opportunity to go see the Packers at the Super Bowl or have a ticket to the Brewers in the World Series in a Game 7, which would you choose?
Oh, I'm going to the World Series.
He said Super Bowl.
What?
He goes, and I go, yeah, and I quote, all the glam.
I believe I use the term spectacle.
What? Right?
I guess if
he's a poser. He is a poser.
If we sat down and did like my sports bucket list, I would just say a Super Bowl would
you
be higher than a World
Series.
You won't
fit in at the Super Bowl.
Why not?
They won't let him in at the
rich
door.
Rich people go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but you're giving me a ticket. You're the rich person in this scenario.
I know, but you still don't. I'm not giving you a ticket.
Are you saying rich people don't go to Game 7 of the World Series?
They do. It's more, no, fanatics because of the fact that the games are in certain cities.
Why would
it's not
I
like it's a full spectacle. Like, I went to the NBA Finals game 6.
I can pretend to be rich. I do it all the time.
No, win.
Think about the...
Win.
Hold on. Think about how many rooms I'm in where I'm the poorest person and I fit in just fine.
Yeah, that doesn't mean
just
you're
about
in a lot
every
of great
room
rooms.
I walk into.
Just means in every room.
Kyle and I went to a tequila event a few months ago.
Oh, we did.
Like, somehow...
I fit right in.
Somehow, full-time Will, who's 22 years old, probably has a higher net worth than you.
Probably. He has less debt.
Well, that's not a high bar, yeah.
Well, he went to a private school,
so, I mean, maybe
which means he probably got daddy's money.
That's true.
You got daddy's money? Oh, he said yes.
Ah, good for you, Will. Hey, listen, yeah, nepotism is the way to go around this country. So
we all can't be born into a life like you, Will.
It's true, Will.
Oh, shut up.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Mr.
Full
Silver
Ride
Spoon.
Scholarship. Yeah. Silver Spoon.
Silver Spoon. Full Ride Scholarship. What do you think I did? Just like they handed
country,
it to me?
Country clubs. You could afford
true.
Trainers.
Country clubs.
I didn't need, I trained myself every single
didn't
day.
Didn't you grow up going to country clubs?
That's a long story.
You went to a, what did he went to?
Are all of your siblings college athletes?
Jonathan Brust played D3 golf.
Okay, hey, so time out. Hey, he had to
golf.
Pay tuition.
Yes.
Did he pay his own tuition?
I don't know the details.
Whoa,
of that,
whoa,
to be
that's
why
you
that's,
asking too much information.
He's talking about daddy's
my,
money.
Nah, my nah, brother. Nah,
yeah, you don't need pay. Listen, parents help kids pay for schools.
Which is why I started a 529 for my daughter.
Wish I could relate.
Which she doesn't know what 529
is. Your parents, they were. They,
brother Steven
to get your life.
Walked on to Bradley
Look at
University.
That. My
earned
cousin
a scholarship his junior year.
My cousin Marcellus Somerville played there.
Sister just did club tennis.
Same. I also did club tennis at college.
Like, no, you did.
No, you didn't.
You did intramurals. You didn't do club anything.
Club tennis.
Only club you went to was a nightclub. And I don't think they had those in Stevens Point.
That's not true. Your boy DJ Brother Z. DJ's at the club at Stevens Point all the time.
Alex Stroff said he would go to the Super Bowl over the Brewers in a Game 7.
That's fraudulent.
But you said Packers in the Super Bowl.
No. I'm telling you this right now.
Go to the poll.
I am going to the Brewers World Series, and this is why. The Green Bay Packers have been there, done that. I've seen them win 2 Super Bowls and go to 3 Super Bowls and almost get to multiple Super Bowls throughout my lifetime. The Milwaukee Brewers have barely never sniffed. Never got into a World Series in my lifetime.
Sniff strong. 2018 was more than a sniff.
Okay, they got well,
that was a small taste of what could have been.
Cool. We almost got there twice in the last 20 years. But at the end of the day, we ain't never been to a World Series. It will be an absolute honor. It will be a dream to see the team that the Brewers are different than the Packers. I have expectation for the Packers, for the Brewers every single year. It's like, hey, if we go to the World Series, that's a dream come true. Bob Uecker went his entire life without seeing the Brewers. Granted, the Brewers didn't come around until halfway through his life, without seeing the Brewers go to a World Series. There are people who have never, nobody has ever seen the Brewers go to a World Series. So to sit here and say you'd rather go to a Super Bowl.
What do you mean?
Win a World Series. You see them going.
Yeah, I'm very confused.
Win a World Series. That's what I'm talking about.
I was completely lost for that 30-second.
Winning a World Series title. So that's why I would rather go to the World Series. You know, my parents went to the World Series back in 1982. Ticket cost $18.
Cool.
How much?
Cool.
1982.
How much did $18 cost?
Oh, inflation, right? Inflation calculator. Here we go.
Probably what?
Now
$80.
2025.
Nah, 50. 50.
Only $60
in
2025.
Yeah, not much. No, I mean, sports was different. My mom still has the ticket.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That's Astros.
Were you watching the World Series in their room while they were gone? Since you used to watch all your sporting events in their bed.
Well, in 19,
wasn't a lot.
Yeah, in 1982. Oh, yeah, my parents were not married yet, and I wasn't alive.
Does it mean there wasn't a chance to have Kyle?
No. They were, you know,
godly couple.
Yeah, they are holy. It's just blessing. The stork just placed the baby, placed me in my mama's belly, and here I am.
In the next 60 months, will the Brewers or Packers or Bucks win a championship?
Yeah, all three of them.
Well, you will win the championship at home when you call Gina Della from Pella. Your windows will be pristine, beautiful, top class, world class, produced locally, manufactured locally, all the warranties you could ever ask for, and they make your home beautiful, cost effective, and help the home value. I can speak from experience. Gina came over to my house, taught me a lot. I mean, I got taught a lot about growing up, and Gina was there for me, and their team will be there for you. So if you want that long-lasting comfort and reliability, it's easy to trust Gina and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Now through August 31st, get that consultation, and you will get 0% interest for up to 5 years if you order by August 31st. Visit PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com, and change your life with your windows. Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch joins us next as we have some updates of the Packers joint practice with the Colts.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
DKB, they get all my love all my energy and all my time. I'll be danged if GKB and Craig not going to allow me to take my half an hour boo-boo. If I need to do they need to allow me
That's
to do that.
That's your whole lunch break.
I don't even take a lunch break. I work during lunch.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm not going to disagree.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
He is a good general manager. Anybody who disputes that, they have other issues.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not sure that was good enough for us to even play on our show.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Joining us now on Kyle Bruston Nortman with No Nortman is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason on Wilde and Tausch across these very stations from 9 to noon. Jason, how are you?
Question for all three of you guys.
Yes, sir.
The three youths.
Yeah, the three youths. When you wear slides now, let me tell you a quick story. I love what I get to do for a living, but occasionally I get teased. Tausch would do it when he was a player. Dorsey Levens, my favorite player that I've ever covered. Charles Woodson second, Tausch's third, used to give me a hard time. I am not a tan person. Now, I can tell that I've been at practice because when I remove my Apple Watch, I am much whiter in that region than I am anywhere else on my arm. But I would wear, before it was fashionable, I would wear socks with slides.
Socks and slides. I lived my whole childhood doing that, Jason.
Okay, my favorite event with Dorsey Levens was when I came to practice and I was wearing slides and socks. And he said, "Are you wearing socks today?" And I did it all the time, so he knew I was. And it was a shot at how white my skin was because it was the same color as the socks. But I was told that that was unfashionable back then, many years ago. Now, my children, who are now both high schoolers, say you can't walk around with your dogs out. So you cannot wear slides without socks now. So when did this – you guys are younger and cooler than me. When did this happen?
That I can't tell you, Jason. I mean, look, at 33 years old, I don't know when trends start and stop. I have a rotation of like 7 polos that I wear and 5 to 6 pants I wear every day to work.
Very
so
true.
I'm very vanilla when it comes to outfits okay. and trends. All I know is mine was because I played basketball. I take my basketball shoes off, keep the socks on, and throw the slides on.
Right.
I have noticed like there's a mid sock thing going on when I was walking around Summerfest in the state fair. The kids like to wear like higher socks, not all the way up to the knee like Keith Van Horn did.
Oh, good reference.
Thank you. Now it's like to the calf, and I don't love that personally. But what do I know?
My thing
is, Jason, if you are comfortable with it. And you don't care if they give you crap for it? You be you. That's what I always say.
I definitely don't care. I just want to be aware. It's not going to change my behavior. I just want to be aware. And, you know, the other issue is that now they wear socks with everything. They've got Birkenstocks, they wear Crocs, and they always have socks on. So it's right in my wheelhouse because I don't think people want to see. I mean, it's not as bad as Tausch's feet. I don't think anybody wants to see those.
Jason.
Be that as it may,
I think it's hilarious that your kids all the way up in Green Bay are saying your dogs are barking.
I think that's a geography thing.
I haven't heard Stella barking in a hit in a while.
I'm just saying I didn't know that was a suburban thing people said. So I think it's funny that your kids.
Hey, I live in the city of Green Bay. I'm on the mean streets, bro.
I'm sorry. So I think that's hilarious.
Dad, your dogs are barking. Put them away.
What are we supposed to make of it? Well, here, let's put it this way. Preseason game number one, starters out there on defense, didn't generate a lot of pressure, not a lot of movement up front. We are seeing tweets come in from Colts beat reporters, Packers beat reporters, that it seems as if the Packers defense, first or second string, is dominating the trenches. Obviously, a dichotomy of what we saw in the preseason. This is just a joint practice. It's not a game, as we say, but it's something that we can utilize as a data point. How much do we take into account of the opponent, the joint practice, or just look at it as, hey, this is an encouraging sign?
I would definitely take it as an encouraging sign. Now, here's one of the reasons why. We're in a position here where, you know, and I don't know, I'm not there, but if Jeff Hafley, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I really do believe that the joint practice is going to become so prevalent, especially when they go to the 18-game regular season schedule and two preseason games. I just think it's so valuable because you can run your stuff. There's not the film will not be made available to all the other teams in the league like a preseason game is. So they keep it vanilla, as they did against the Jets, because they don't want everyone seeing their exotic blitz packages or anything like that. Now, there have been certain preseasons where they have shown stuff, like the first year that Dom was here, they did that. I don't think Jeff Hafley did it last year. He saved it all for practice. But generally speaking, in preseason, I know the offense did this against the Jets as well, they keep it pretty basic because they don't want to be showing any of their best stuff on film.
As Kyle and John Anderson would say, though, Jason, why was their vanilla better than our vanilla?
Well, that's where we get into competition, right? That does matter. Mano y mano, who's better? Okay, you're not going to trick anybody. Are you better? And in the Packers' case with the Jets, they obviously weren't. But to answer your question about the pressure, I do think I would take it as a slightly encouraging sign. It's still a practice. Let's not put too much into it. But it is an encouraging sign that, you know, sound like Rashawn Gary had a couple of nice rushes. Again, though, you have to be careful that it's always still practice. And, you know, we got very excited about Rashawn Gary last summer in training camp. And then Zach Tom came back, and we weren't quite as excited about Rashawn Gary, and we weren't hearing quite as much about the pressure. And then he finished with 7.5 sacks, finished 45th, according to ESPN, in the league in pressures, and 60th in the league in pressure percentage. So this does not prove anything, but it is intriguing.
Jason, I'm glad that you said competition in the Green Bay Packers didn't compete that well on Saturday, so it was great to see them competing today with the D-line. But what is it that you want to learn from today's joint practice? Like, what are the headlines that you're looking for to write about or discuss tomorrow on Wildy and Tausch 9 to noon?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'm certainly interested in, and part of that is the competition factor, right? Like, that does matter. Like, do you come to play when you face people other than the guys you've been facing for the last 3 weeks in practice, and when you are able to let loose a little bit? Like, you know, I was talking to Kingsley and Igbare before they left, and one of the things he said was, look, I'm not going to be a jerk to these guys, but I am going to bring it more because they're not my guys. And if one of them, you know, gets in an awkward position and I throw them to the turf legally, sorry. But that's my job. Whereas maybe you wouldn't do that if you're rushing against Jacob Monk, for example, because he's your teammate. So I do think that that's one of the things. Obviously, how Malik Willis fares matters today. You know, Jordan is there. He's wearing a cast, as you guys know. LaFleur saying before practice that the hope is that he will be able to practice in some form or fashion next week. Again, I wouldn't raise my expectations and think, oh, yeah, maybe he'll take some 11-on-11 reps against the first-team defense for the Seattle Seahawks in next Thursday's joint practice. But I want to know that Malik Willis has made steps that, look, he had a great year last year when he had a play, right? But they also, you know, they had to adjust the playbook. They ran the ball like crazy against the Colts in that game. I think 32 carries for Josh Jacobs. What you would like is to know after this time of him being the number one quarterback while Love is out, what you would like to know is that if something happens to Jordan again, that he's still up for the task, but maybe they have a few more options in how they approach the thing offensively, because, you know, he has been in the system now for it'll be a full year, but he had a full off season. He's going to have a full training camp. So those would be the top line things that I'd be looking for.
Jason Wilde joins us here on Kyle. Brustin Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin, and Malik Willis wouldn't be facing the AFC South if he was called to action early.
Well, Jason, should fans have zero concerns about Jordan Love's health for week one? He had the surgery. They believe he'll be back for practice. Should fans feel good about him week one being able to have that healthy offhand, hand off the ball, play action fake, take snaps under center? He should be good to go?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they should have zero concern, no. I definitely don't. Like, he still had surgery. Like, he didn't, you know, somebody didn't pop a zit on his wrist. Like, they went in minimally invasively, but still had surgery. So you can call it a procedure if you want, but the bottom line is he had surgery. And there's always, you know, when you have to sign those forms before they do the surgery, there's a reason for that. Right. So do I think that he'll be fully healthy by the time they play on September 7th? Based on what we've been told about the nature of this surgery, yes, he will be. Now, the question is, you know, where will their offense be without much work together during this time? Like, not only is he out, but, you know, look what's happening in suburban Indianapolis and Westfield today. Dobbs is out. Watson's still on PUP. Wicks is out. Reed has lost the boot, but he's not practicing. Savion Williams isn't practicing.
Oh, no.
That puts us up to five of the top six, and the only guy left standing is Matthew Golden, so bubble wrap him, please.
I mean, Hunter Waller tried to pop him today, and Tucker Kraft had to get in his face.
Well, again, you need to protect your own. And I'm not here to speak on Hunter Waller's behavior when I'm not there to see it. But they need to get healthy. And the drawback to all this is they are going to go into the season with less work together as an offense in their passing game than they would have had everyone stayed healthy. And that's less than ideal.
Is it fair to assume we'll probably see a little bit more of the version we saw at the end of the year, leaning on Josh Jacobs as much as possible?
Yeah, I would think they want to lean on him regardless, Ben, right?
Yes, I mean, of course.
Really good.
I mean, we know what he can do.
But I would think, you know, you mentioned Tucker Kraft. I would say that we'll probably see more two tight ends, you know, assuming Luke Musgrave can stay healthy, because they're really excited about the idea of him and Tucker Kraft on the field at the same time. They got a guy named John Fitzpatrick who's had some moments in camp and had a nice catch and run in the Jets game that they're kind of excited about. They still like my guy that I bumped into at Chipotle, Ben Sims. So they like what they have at tight end. So if they are thin at wide receiver when the season starts, which I don't know if they will be, but they have some options, and they certainly are able to have those guys practice. But again, they're practicing with Malik Willis. Like, even if all the tight ends are healthy, they're still doing it without Love. So not ideal. You know, the other part of this, though, and LaFleur did talk about it, and with your reference, Kyle, to what Hunter Waller did, or allegedly did, I guess I should say, is that, you know, I understand they're not your teammates, and this is not rec league basketball, although my recollection of rec league basketball, things get a little ugly there too, but you still don't ruin a productive day by being a jerk. I will not use the word I once used on this program, a jerk. Don't be a jerk.
Good job. Proud of you.
And I think that, thank you. I've always
make the same mistakes,
you
know,
proud of me. Yeah, it's exactly, make new mistakes, which Lord knows we do. By the way, speaking of mistakes, but I know I'm almost out of time, and I like to say, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. Kyle, I just want to be clear. You are entitled to whatever opinion you have. Whether people agree with it or disagree with it is their prerogative. But for a long time now, and I do not believe that you say things that you don't believe. And so if you have an opinion and you believe it, don't let people online bully you, and I know you didn't, but I had a real problem with how some people reacted to you, like you were being, you know, just looking for reaction with your statement about being about love being injury prone. I thought that was crap. Now, I don't agree with you, and
that's
I'm
the whole
happy
thing,
to debate
Jason.
You on it.
You can disagree, but have something to say outside of you're an idiot.
Yeah, I that really, really bothered me, and I know, you know, obviously Tausch and I have done this for a long time. I've obviously covered the team for a long time, so I know more people, quote-unquote, know me or are familiar with me than they are with Kyle. Kyle's been on Sunday Karma forever. He does a great job here. You can hear him on The Truth. I just want to be clear that this guy on a motorcycle who would beat the crap out of me is not going to like it when I roll down my window and ask him to turn down his music a little bit because I'm on the radio. But, Kyle, I just think people who know you should, or people who don't know you and should know you, I just hope they understand that you are, there's one thing that you definitely aren't, and that is inauthentic. And so I know you don't just gin up things that you don't really believe to get attention. I know that about you. I'm sorry that people were jerks to you about that. I am happy to debate you and tell you that we are not at the point that Jordan Love should be viewed as injury prone, but he has had some mishaps that start to make you think that way. Kind of like Jesse was thinking, we need to have a conversation.
No, don't put him in the same Jesse camp.
I was letting you go, but now that's crazy. That was crazy. No, Jason, I appreciate it, Jason. I appreciate that. Also, it's all good. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, everybody has the right to say whatever they want to say. If people think I'm all types of
things. They don't have a right to be
jerks. I mean,
they can. It's the internet, though. It's the internet. Who actually cares about the internet?
I care about ESPN Wisconsin and KBN Nation, man, and care about the fact that we love sports. That's one thing that unites us all, the fact that we love sports. We all have an opinion on it. And we, at the end of the day, we love the green and gold, and Jason covers the green and gold.
Yeah, and what also unites us is that none of us want to be compared to Jesse's bad take on Pat Murphy.
That is true.
Jason, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, fellas, take care. Be good.
Buckle up, everybody. The captain of the Brewers Math ship has arrived. Jared is going to take us on a ride of our lives on our ship, sailboat, on the sea. We're not seeing crazy images. We are seeing land.
Full steam ahead, baby. Full steam ahead. It hasn't been a rocky ride, baby. It's been smooth sailing for the Brewers.
Brewers Math with Jared, our captain. Don't go anywhere. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
When I'm, again, doing the Pack Arena, and as a shareholder, when I'm sizing up my ring,
all
when
right,
I'm sizing
damn,
up my
do
ring,
the Pack Arena right now.
One pack of two, pack of three, pack of arena.
Hey.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Baseball Math.
On his way to third is Meyer. The throw is great, and they got him. What a throw by Sal!
Sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Explore more at paysbig.com.
Oh my goodness, Christian Yelich! He walks it off in grand fashion.
Let's talk hardball on KBN.
Check 1-2, am I on Strofe? Oh, I'm on, good. Ben Russ, Kyle Wallace, Alex Strofe running the show. UKBN Nation at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line lists is more. Ahoy, Captain Jared, ahoy.
Yes, yes.
How are we doing?
We're doing well, Jared. Now, I would like to say I've been so proud for you to be our captain during this journey. You have everything at your disposal to share with KBN Nation everything that is on your mind as you have led us on this journey throughout the Brewer season.
Yeah, this has been uncharted waters, we'll say that, this year.
Ooh.
This is going to be a trivia edition. This is going to be a trivia edition of it. And obviously, as Brad is out, Alex is going to take over. I'm going to ask each of you one question as I go through this today. So be paying attention. The answers aren't in the logic. You've got to remember, it's got to be up here. It's got to come from the heart. But I'm going to be asking you each a question. The winner gets to be co-captain with me next time on Brewers Math. But before we get into
just
the
give me
science,
a hat, I'm ready to go.
Sounds like a plan. Before we get into the science and the facts and the figures of Brewers Math, can we just briefly discuss the aura, the myth, the legend that's happening here? The late, great Bob Uecker died on January 16th. I think that perhaps he was so busy catching up with the likes of his old buddies Johnny Carson and Hank Aaron, or perhaps his first Brewers broadcast partner he ever had, Merle Harmon, that he forgot the Brewers season was even starting. Fast forward exactly 4 months to the date, May 16th, the Brewers record at that time, 21-24.
Oof, that's all right, though.
And after 4 months in the eternal life, Uke finally finishes chatting with all of his old buddies and has a moment to check on his baseball team. Since May 16th, the Brewers have played exactly 75 games and have won 55.
Damn!
So on to the math. At 76-44, the Brewers have played a nice and tidy 120 games. This represents 74% of the baseball season. This is the Packers' equivalent of being just a few minutes into the third quarter of their 13th regular season game, which just happens to be the Chicago Bears on December 7th.
Boo!
At Lambeau Field. On win percentage alone, the Brewers have won 63.3% of their games. This is about the same as the Packers having about an 8-4 record with 12 minutes left in the third quarter. However, the Packers are absolutely pummeling the Bears 42-0 in the third quarter of this game, since the vibes are literally that high, and was once the case in the infamous 2014 game when the Packers were actually winning 42-0 at the half.
Dude, yeah.
They are on pace, the Milwaukee Brewers, for 103 wins as of today. But I know what you're all thinking. You're saying, Captain Jared, the second best record in all of Major League Baseball, which belongs to the Toronto Blue Jays. Kyle, how many games above 500 are the Toronto Blue Jays?
I'm assuming they are 24.
They are 19 games.
Oh, that's it?
Above 500 entering play today. The Brewers are an absurd 32 games over 500.
Say.
A mark they have never reached in the history of the franchise. They've never been this many games above 500 in the history of the franchise, and it's August 14th, and they're already there. Surely there has to be a metric, a statistic that equates to the August 14th, 2025 Brewers to a better than 8-4 record that they would have in the NFL. In series wins this season, right? So every time you play a set of games against a team, it's a series. The Brewers are a crazy 25-12-2. And since July 7th, the Brewers have 7 series sweeps.
Damn!
Since July 7th.
That's 21 wins, at least.
And 4 losses total. That type of winning would equate to like 11-1 Packers record. So finally... And finally, it's a little long here, but finally, let's address everyone who said the Brewers needed to add a bat at the trade deadline. The Brewers are no longer in the bottom third of baseball in home runs with that recent binge. They're actually up to 19th. Strofe, 19th in home runs in Major League Baseball would equate to what in your mind in overall runs scored? Where do the Brewers rank 1 through 30 in runs scored in Major League Baseball?
I would guess they're probably number 1, Jared.
They are 6 runs shy of the Los Angeles Dodgers for number 1 overall. They are number 2. So, a really good guess, but so far we're 0 for 2. The last person that has a chance to join us.
I want to be co-captain!
It's going to be Ben. Number 1, though, is only 1 off. So, you're going to be in the lead.
No consolation prizes here.
Just 6 runs back of the Dodgers. They have scored a WTMJ 620 runs this season, 620. The Brewers are now, again, just 6 runs behind, and I love what Ben said the other day in a video that's now going viral. Who is the best hitter in this lineup? And Ben kind of said in so many words, it's all of them. Ben, what Brewers player is leading the team in batting average in the month of August? He has gone 18 of 46 for a .391 winning percentage.
Batting percentage?
Batting percentage, thank you. Batting average, yeah. 391, 18 of 46 in the month of August. I'll give you a clue. It's not Jackson Chourio, right? He hasn't been part of this win streak.
I got 2 names.
Give them both to me.
It's either Isaac Collins or William Contreras.
Which one are you going with?
I'm going with the Silver Slugger.
So the reason why Ben was so good with what he talked about with how it's everybody in the lineup is that it's not William Contreras and it is not Isaac
Collins.
Is
it Joey Ortiz?
The person that's 18 of 46 with a .391 batting average in the month of August is the nine-hole hitter.
Joey
Ortiz.
Get out of here.
The power
get
of the
pancake. Get out of here. They was trying to get rid of Joey O. Bitch, Joey O. Look at Joey O now.
Saw this. Damn it.
We are just, well, I guess I'm the captain next time. we are just 8 wins away from going to the almighty pay window at the glorious Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Cash me out, baby.
We are at 76 wins. We need 8 more to get to the Vegas over-under set at 83.5. We took the over at 84. That's a foregone conclusion. And by the way, is it too early to strike up the magic number machine? Have we been doing that yet? Because I think it's time. It's at 35 by my calculations. Could be 34 if the Cubs lose today. They were up 1-0.
Down 2-1 now.
They're down 2-1.
Vlad Jr. hit a homer after they showed a Vlad Sr. highlight.
35-34. There's conflicting reports on the number because of where the tiebreak has. The series against the Cubs next week, we'll finish that up since the teams are technically tied in the series so far. October is a conversation for another day, but for now, we sail on what just might turn out to be one of the most improbable regular seasons in the 149-year history of Major League Baseball. Forget the Brewers. Boys, we sail on because these are calm yet uncharted waters completely.
Take me to paradise, baby.
Brewers!
Captain, I bid you adieu.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been a loss for words. I know you guys have. It's been unbelievable. We've got a really exciting series against the Reds tomorrow. Brewers still haven't announced who it's going to be. We think it's going to be Miz. Think it's going to be Miz. We've done 12 in a row. We've got the Websberger. None of this with Mizorowski, the top prospect on the team. None of this with the 21-year-old phenom, Jackson Chourio, who, coming into his injury, was second in the NL in hits.
With 21 straight games reaching base after a 20-game hit injury?
These two guys come back. We're going
to
be fine.
I'm telling you, take me to paradise.
Get back to the deck. Keep us riding straight and towards the land.
I'll be back. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Captain Jared.
76-44.
8-4.
Yeah, no. But 11-1 in the last
11-1
in the last like 75.
Get back to the deck. And what'd you say? And known sailor Ben Brust.
And sail us to land.
The captain's deck, you mean?
Whatever. I'm not a sailor. Not a sailor.
Clearly not. Don't make him co-captain. He'll crash us.
Heal the sheets or whatever they say.
Didn't we send Brad to the back with the
yeah, he's in the poop deck.
The poop deck.
Power of the pancake.
Power of the pancake.
Or Jared, power of friendship.
Thank you. What nugget did you enjoy the most from Brewer's Math? I know mine. What's yours next?
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN.
I'm a seam head now. You can call me whatever you want.
Oh, seam head.
I don't even know what that is.
That means I'm a baseball dork. All I do is sit and watch MLB big inning at night.
A seam head.
I've never heard that before.
This is because you're not a seam head.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
College students or parents of college students that are listening right now, if you're looking to help make that campus living more comfortable, functional, and fashionable, let IKEA help you. Innovative storage solutions, furniture to maximize your space, to fashionable bedding and accessories to make it uniquely yours, IKEA is helping make college living truly inspired by you. And now, qualified college students can save even more with 15% off their IKEA purchases when they sign up for IKEA Family for free. So visit IKEA Oak Creek, IKEA Schaumburg, or check out the Ready for College section on IKEA.com/US. Strofe hit the KBN Sports Desk. Another sack for Lucas Van Ness.
Okay. I'm happy to see it, and especially Jason basically saying we should get excited about hearing about this defensive line actually coming alive because the performance that they had on Saturday was abysmal. So seeing them actually, as he said, compete is something that we wanted to see. So they're being dominant today against the offensive line of the Indianapolis Colts, so this is all something we should be hopeful about.
Do we all have the same takeaway from Brewer's Math? It's Kyle Brust and Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin with Strofe running the show.
800-990-3776 and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and Madison. This earlier the Carb was talking text line. Joey O, really?
Listen,
August, Joey O.
I had no idea.
Not getting enough attention.
Not that's ridiculous. That just shows how good this team is.
I guess it's hard when William Contreras kind of busts out of a little bit of, not a slump, but like putting consistent performances together. Isaac Collins was NL Player of the Week. And so, yeah, like easy to be left behind is the nine hitter and what he's been able to do at the back end of their lineup.
I mean, it just makes that team that much better.
He's unbelievable defensively.
If you're talking about why they, you know, have not lost in the month of August, it's simply because of stuff like that. When other guys are getting it going, when the guys at the bottom of your lineup are getting it going, and probably one of your worst hitters on your consistently in your starting lineup being Joey Ortiz.
I'm glad you brought up Terang, too, because one of the most exciting things we've seen is the power out of Bryce Terang in this last week.
That's been ridiculous.
The boy has hit two bombs over four Hondo.
No, again, when you got guys showing up like this.
Little 5'8 guy. My fiance said she was at an event where it was like the Christian Yelich, you know, a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at
home plate.
She looked at Bryce Terang. She goes, is that when Bryce Terang? I couldn't believe he was on the team.
Dang.
So small.
What's interesting is I was listening to Pat Murphy, who joined the analysis, and you can go and listen back to that full show. And he was talking about the one great thing about baseball players is the fact that, listen, you don't need to be 6'4", 6'6" to play baseball.
You still carry that power.
All you got to do is, you know, you can be 5'8" and have a lot of heart and a lot of grit and be able to play this game of baseball. That's what makes it so beautiful. And Pat Murphy embraces that, and he looks at his guys and says, listen, we got all we need right here in this locker room to be great.
And I'm glad as well, as we addressed with Jared and Brewer's math, it's a pretty interesting nugget. To 19th now in home runs. When all, like, cherry-picking stats, when the Brewers were on their heater, everyone wanted to look at, oh, they don't have the power, they don't have this. They can hit with power, but also part of their approach is not needing to hit with power on a consistent level because of how they approach each at bat, get on base, run the base pads well, play fundamental baseball. It's a formula that will sustain.
No, if you have a guy like William Contreras start swinging that bat.
I'm not against it, don't get me wrong. But to be able to win without that and then add that gives you that added bonus.
And that's why Andrew Vaughn and William Contreras playing well and starting to find that home run bat that he has, you know, the ability to hit 20-plus home runs in a season, that is what changes everything for the Milwaukee Brewers, having those two guys you can depend on top of a Jackson Churio who has a flair for the heroics, and then Christian Yelich, which you already know who he is and what he can do. That's what makes the Brewers great.
Well, we will continue on with the Brewers. Rob Domofsky has a biggest question for the Green Bay Packers. We have an exclusive clip from a Thanalysis show pod that will be dropping next week. Brian Belaga, a whole lot to get to in the 414 hour at 4. You got Jim, Matt, and Molly in Madison, Corey and Wally in Beaver Dam, and of course, Kyle, Ben, Strofe. We're going to be here till 5 o'clock on 94.5 ESPN, and of course, on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee in 2 short minutes.